This evening, I'd like to talk about something that I don't know what to use as a title. As a teenager, remember Brother Sammons, Brother Mark Sammons was an older minister among us, and one of the things he would say quite frequently is, steady as you go. I remember him saying that from the time that I was a teenager. And he was like a Joseph. He had a lot of obstacles in his life and had gained victories that it wasn't convenient for him to become a Christian. And the Lord blessed him, and he was steady. He was someone that really was stable in his walk with the Lord, and I really appreciate him. So, this evening maybe we would go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and notice a familiar verse there. It's one that's probably been preached on many times. 4 and 14 of Ephesians, it says, maybe we'll start above that, maybe verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He's talking about Jesus there. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he's just kind of laying out and portraying the overall objective. And then he says, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So we know that there is a lot of, there's people out there that actually generate an income by their presence in social media and other avenues, and their occupation, their line of expertise, marketable skill is they're an influencer. They do that in various ways, making videos, interviewing people, various ways, but there are people out there that have this title or label as being an influencer. That's a wind that's out there in our world. And there are influencers that are influencing for causes that probably all of us here could say, yeah, I believe that's right. But there's also people out there that are influencers that are portraying something completely different than that. They're trying to push the pendulum or the wind or the thinking of society in a different direction. And we have to contend with that. And the scripture says here, it's Paul writing to the Ephesians, he said that we henceforth be no more children because they're easily influenced, right? It's the old saying is, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. What's that referring to? Once we get some age on us, if somebody comes along with a new way of doing something, what are we most likely saying, going to say to them? That's not the way I've always done it. If somebody come to my wife's, to our house, and told my wife, or asked my wife, what are you doing? If she said, well, I'm making cornbread. I'm just hypothetically speaking, they might say, well, here, I've got a new recipe. I'm pretty sure she would say something like, My husband only likes cornbread made this way. And she's not pushed around very much. Now, there might be somebody here, if you've never made cornbread and somebody come and said, hey, I've got a cornbread recipe we ought to try. You ought to try. It'd be easier to influence them. If you've never made cornbread, it'd be easier to influence them than it would somebody that's made cornbread a lot. But he says, don't be like a child or in an inexperienced, non-practiced Christian. Be someone that's more mature than that. He says, the purpose of him laying out the guideline of this is the scope of the plan. Jesus came, he established the gospel, and he ordained and left those that would be teachers, that would be instructors of righteousness. And he says the whole purpose of that, there would be a unity in the faith. There would be a recognizable, identifiable characteristics that are amongst Christians in this world. He says, the reason is we want, the purpose behind that is that we would be established, that we henceforth be no more children, uncertain of what's right, uncertain of what's wrong, not easily influenced to take a path that we haven't tried before. If somebody comes to me, y'all probably, some of you may not be familiar with a term that in my field we call it mechanic in a can. You ever heard that? Well, there's a whole aisle of that in some parts stores and some like Walmart and discount places, and I call it mechanic in a can because it's something stop leak for your radiator. There's an oil leak thing. There's things there that'll supposedly fix a head gasket, and it's like, I don't think so. No. You come along with a new product that's supposed to, you pour it in and it's supposed to do something that normally would cost $2,000 or $3,000, I'm going to tell you, nah, it ain't going to work. That's what I'm going to tell you. And if you've been influenced by that advertisement, by that win, maybe you'll try it. I'm not going to. Because I'm pretty sure I know better. Okay? And that's what he wants us to be established enough that we're confident, I'm not going to try that. The enemy comes along with one of his influencers for us, trying to get us to be swayed to do something that we shouldn't do as a Christian. The devil wants to tell you you can get by with it and everything will be okay. It'll be just like it was. That's what his propaganda will be. And you'll say, no, I'm not going to try it. You'll be stable enough to be able to resist that. Changing our opinion and our perspective to the public opinion or the current opinion is it's the easiest thing to do to avoid confrontation, isn't it? If you're the only one that don't want to put stop leak in your radiator, and everybody else in the group that you're talking to says, oh, I saw the advertisement. I mean, it just fixes it. I mean, it just completely makes the problem go away. You need to try it. If everybody here is saying, put the stop leak in. If everybody else says, you can do that and still be a Christian, the easiest thing to do is to cave in and do what everybody else is doing. That's the easiest thing. And what I want to talk to us tonight about is not doing what is the current opinion, but holding fast to what we know is right. I want to be clear, because Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 25, he said, agree with thy adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast in prison. You know, it's one thing to disagree fundamentally with something, and it's another thing to become antagonistic toward those that you don't agree with. Does that make sense? There's going to be times that somebody says, I think you ought to use stop leak. And you say, no, I'm not going to do it, in your mind. But maybe you find a way that you can agree with some point that they're making. And then from there, be able to establish that you're not going to use the stop leak. Is that too confusing? There are times that people oppose solid Christian principles on the grounds that it's just a tradition. And I'd like for us to remember that somehow that tradition got started. And maybe you can agree that just doing it for the sake of being a tradition is not valid enough. And maybe that person don't understand it well enough that they can do it from a standpoint of a personal conviction. And maybe you can give them allowance, and maybe it's okay to agree with them on something. But it's not okay for me to just throw it overboard. You understand what I'm trying to say? I've been in those places many times where I realized somebody didn't have a real understanding, and I've had to accept that they don't have an understanding, and I'm willing to agree and give latitude for someone else. But yet, for myself, I can't put that stop leak in. I remember one time I had a car come to me. They had broken down in away from home, and it had a head gasket or a cylinder head problem. And somebody put a product in there called water glass. And I don't know if any of you men have ever heard of it, but it was some stuff that was supposed to fix a cracked head or a head gasket. And they put this product in, and I don't know if they put one bottle or six bottles in. I don't know. But I know by the time I found it, it was brought to me to fix. I was trying to help somebody, working on something for free. And I found the problem. The head was cracked. I had to put a different cylinder head on it. When I got done, the crack it had stopped up was all the little holes in the radiator. And it would get hot. And it caused a problem. And my feelings of frustration, because somebody else put something in there that didn't work, it was pretty high. And I probably had that radiator off and flushing it and back in and pulled it out. I don't know how many times. There was water glass I could see the little clear BBs coming out of it. It had really packed itself into the radiator, and it took a long time for me to get it out where the car would run and not overheat. I'm not going to put a water glass in. I have personal experience with something called water glass. I'm not going to do it. You want to try it? I'll give you the latitude. I'm not putting it in there. I want us to not just have a head knowledge, but I want us to be convinced of why I do what I do. And maybe you can get by with some water glass, but I want our experience to be solid enough that we can be confident that it'll take us through to the end. I'm not going to cave in if you come to me and say you ought to put some water glass in your radiator. I'd like to turn to the 15th chapter of Psalms and notice a verse here. This psalm is good for us to read on a periodic basis and just to meditate on the strength of character that's displayed in this 15th psalm. It starts out by saying, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Who is it that's going to be acceptable in your sight? Who is it that's going to make it? Who is it that's going to be able to address the problems in life accurately and not be looking for spirituality in a can? Something that'll smooth over my feelings of anxiety with some other kind of emotion or mask it or something of that nature. But I want something that's real. I want a personal connection with the Lord. Lord, who is it that's going to dwell in your tabernacle? And we believe the spiritual church of God is a tabernacle we want to dwell in. So I want to go down to the fourth verse and notice it. Each one of these verses is talking about someone or a characteristic that's typical of those that would be able to be acceptable in God's sight. He says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. And this is the phrase I want us to get a hold of right here. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. What does it mean to swear to your own hurt and change it not? You know, if you broke down with your car, somebody might come along and say, if you'll just pour this in, I believe it'll get you where you need to go. If you'll just rub this on, it'll get you where you need to go. When it comes to radiator leaks, I've heard a lot of stuff. I've heard you can put black pepper in your radiator, and I've never tried that. I've heard of things called bars leak and water glass, and there is a whole shelf at Walmart for fixing coolant leaks. I bought one time to try to fix an oil leak, and guess what? It didn't work. I mean, I couldn't have told that it done any good. There's motor overhaul in a can. It's supposed to fix the whole engine. I'm going to tell you, if it needs a rebuild, that's not going to do it. It's just not. I'm not going to try it. I know it's only $4.99 or $14.99 now, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it because I believe that there's something that has to be repaired. He that sweareth to his own hurt, I'd rather put my $15 towards something that I know will help us. You know, it doesn't matter what we decide in life. There's going to be somebody that's going to say you didn't do that right. I said this morning, I'll say it again this evening just for the sake of illustration. I didn't buy my boys their first car. In fact, I've not ever bought them any car. They bought their car, they bought their gas, they bought their insurance, or they didn't drive. And I've told my wife and I've told others, I don't know what I would have done if I'd had daughters. I don't know. But the boys I knew, they could work and earn money if they wanted to drive. I think girls can too, but I don't know. I don't know what I would have done, so please don't judge me on this. But I was determined. My boys, if they wanted a car to drive, they were going to, if somebody come along and said, oh, you ought to, I will help them fix a broken one. But I wasn't going to buy them no car. Uh-uh, not me. You know there's people that said I did that wrong? For every three people that said I did it right, there's going to be at least one that said you should have done something different than that. And I don't know what the boys think now. Nobody's come back and said, Dad, thank you so much for making me work for buying my first car. Not one of the four boys has ever come back and told me that. They might someday, but they haven't yet. I know there's people out there that thought that I should have done something different. It don't matter how you raise your children, you can discipline them this way, and somebody will think that's not right. You can not discipline them and somebody else will think that's not right. You can discipline them another way and somebody else will find fault with that. You can be conscientious about not allowing something into your life, into your house, into your family, and somebody can say you're too rigid. And you can let something come into your house and come into your family and somebody else will say that's not right. I want to tell you, I want to be one of those that can dwell in the tabernacle with the Lord. And I want to be strong enough to not be pushed around with the winds of doctrine and by the influencers that's in the world that tries to tell me I did it wrong. I want to live with a clear conscience before the Lord. I want the Lord to be able to say, well done. When I first moved to Oklahoma, started working at the Chevy store, I was the youngest guy there. And I remained the youngest guy there until I went to another place. And then I was the youngest guy at my next job. And now I'm the old guy. But when I started and I was the young guy, they found out that I came from Missouri, and because I wouldn't just immediately do exactly what they said on something, they called me a hard-headed Missourian. That's what they told me. And they tried to influence me and kind of coerce me to doing something that I didn't feel comfortable with. I'm not talking about moral issues. I'm talking about working on cars right there. There's going to be times when it's a moral issue. I can't do that. I won't go there. I won't allow this thing to be part of my who I am. And you're going to find that there are those around you that's going to try to influence you. I just want to encourage us today to be encouraged, to be steady as you go. Why is it that you've established the parameters that you have in life? Why has it worked for you? I've bought a lot of tools, and I've bought a lot of expensive tools. And the reason that I've bought expensive tools over the years is because I want them to perform over and over again. And if they break, I want somebody to smile and say, I'll take that and fix it for you. That's the reason I've bought expensive tools. And I have found that it's worked. I bought the expensive tools, and when they come in and I say, I got one broken, they'll say, I'll get it fixed right up for you. I got a ratchet that don't work. He said, let me have it. I got a question about why this don't function the way it should. I'll get you an answer. That's worth a lot to me. And that's why I've spent the money that I have. I want us to not be influenced by the world. I want us to be steady as you go. I want to read you something that a commentator said about this verse. He said, if any time we have bound ourselves by a solemn engagement to do so and so or something, and we find us afterwards that to keep this oath or this promise will be greatly to our damage, yet such reverence he has for God and for truth that he will not change, be the consequences what they are. There's been some times in my life that I've made a decision not to be influenced by circumstances and the person that was telling me I ought to do something. I've had to say, I can't do that. I remember one time, and I didn't know what the outcome would be. I remember one time in particular that I was being pressured to do something that I just didn't feel I could be pleasing to the Lord ultimately, but it made me very nervous. And I said, I can't do that. And this person looked at me and he said, I think you're making a mistake. And I'm going to tell you, that had effect on me. I went home that day for a little while and took care of some personal things. And I'm going to tell you, I felt like I had the weight of the world on my shoulders. For somebody to look at me, and I told them, this is my decision, and I can't go there. And for them to say, you're making a mistake. It was tough. But I had put my word out. This is where I'm going to stand. I want you to be that strong. This type of person that will be able to stay, to dwell in the house of the Lord, in the tabernacle of the Most High. It says his bare word, this is someone else's comments, his bare word, without an oath, will bind him equally as if he had an oath. Have you ever heard somebody say, I swear, I swear, I swear? And a lot of times, this next sentence is what really it is. He that will not be honest without an oath will not be honest with one. You ever notice that? The people that says, I swear, I promise, I promise. That's usually the clue that they've been used to not being truthful. It's sad, but a lot of times that's the way it is. I would like for it to be different. Lord, help us to be steady as we go and not be influenced, to be drawn aside and to take up something that we shouldn't take up. I want to end with a verse in Luke, the 9th chapter. And before we read it, maybe I'll make a few other comments. And I don't mean this to cast a reflection, nor do I want you to feel like I have an opposing position. But something just struck me this past week. You know, we have... Now, I'm not even going to do that. I don't want anybody to take it wrong. In the 50s, I'll get the point maybe across this way. In the 50s, the influence for the young men was to lower their cars in the back and put chrome little things out. We called them curb feelers. Not that I was an adult in the 50s. They put fender skirts, curb feelers, and they lowered them in the back. The front end would be up, and they lowered them in the back. Well, by the time you got in the 60s, the influence was to jack them up in the back where they were higher than they were coming from the factory. And today, they've got some pickups jacked up so high all the way around, it's not even safe to go down the road. The reason I know that is because they're hauling them on a trailer. They don't trust them to drive down the road. I guess that's why. Maybe they don't want to get any dirt on the truck. But they got all kinds of chrome pieces underneath that are painted, and they're hauling them on a trailer going somewhere. But it's also, depending on who you're influenced by, they got them so low that they drag and leave sparks, or they have plates on the bottom of it. They lower them down so low that when you drive them down the street, sparks are flying in when it's dark. You can be influenced by those kind of things. I'm not saying that's a moral issue, other than it might be unsafe sometimes, but I want us to realize when we get a hold of the Lord, our experience with Him is what's most important. Lord, would I be acceptable in your tabernacle? If the Lord came in here, if the Lord Jesus came in here tonight, would we feel accepted? It's just something we ought to ask ourselves. Or have we been influenced by the ones that want to draw us away one way or the other? Like I said, I see trucks that's jacked up where the floorboard is about to hide my head. They're out there. I personally don't think they're safe. And then there's others out there that when they're going slow speeds around town, they're leaving sparks. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to ride in one of those because it's going to bump and it's going to hurt. I don't want to be in that one. If we've been influenced one way or the other, I want to ask us tonight, can we ask ourselves, Lord, would I be able to be acceptable in your tabernacle? And if we have this doubt in our mind, I want to ask you and entreat you to let's get on track. Let's get those influences, let's get them away from us. I'm not talking about being ugly to anybody, but let's don't be influenced. We have to be in a place where we're not a child tossed to and fro. Let's be steady, as Brother Mark would say. Let's be steady as we go. And not allow the things that wants to come in and push us one way or push us another to take us off the track, off the course that'll get our soul to heaven. You pray for me. I want to stay on track. I'm sorry. Luke the 9th chapter and the 62nd verse. Pretty serious thought here. He says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. No man. Put your hand to the plow, that means you're going to do some plowing. You can't plow a straight furrow by looking anywhere but straight ahead. If you're looking back over your shoulder or to the side one way or the other, you're not going to plow a straight furrow. And he says you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. That's a very serious outcome. I want to be fit for the kingdom of heaven. I want to be acceptable. I want to dwell in the tabernacle of the Most High. And I want to keep my... There's a song that says... talking about the Christian life, and he's talking about keeping his eye on the rail and his hand on the throttle. I want the Lord to help us to keep our eye on the rail and our hand on the throttle. There's a song in the other book that we have. I think it's song 243. What's the title of that? I Am Resolved. Are you resolved tonight? Keep your eye on the rail, your hand on the throttle. Keep your hands on the plow, and don't be looking back. I want to dwell in the tabernacle of the Most High. I don't want to be like a child, easily influenced. And there's influences out there that'll shake the most mature one here. There's influences that'll cause us to question, am I doing it the right way? Lord, help us. We'll all meet this, and I want to be faithful and true. You pray for me.